Welcome to the Between Dreams podcast. I'm Chris Ruggiero. This week's guest is Gabby Conti. Welcome back to the show, to the regular listeners, and welcome for the first time if you are a new listener. So happy you're here. The Between Dreams podcast is all about showcasing and featuring people who are out there doing amazing stuff. But it's not so that we can sit here and talk about all the great stuff that we are doing. We are talking about stuff to inspire you and motivate you to get out there and make things happen for yourself. This week's guest, Gabby Conti, is out there doing stuff. I was kind of intrigued by all the stuff that she's up to. She was just, for the past 2 years, the host of the Elite Daily Show, and she is making live theater shows throughout LA. She's hosting podcasts. She's just doing all these amazing things. And I want to learn about these people like this who are making things happen, getting out there and doing things, because I know all of us have all these ideas and dreams and things that we keep thinking about, but there's these hurdles and these roadblocks. So we're bringing you stories from people who are powering through those hurdles and roadblocks. And as I said, we're here to entertain, but also to inspire and motivate you to get out there and make something awesome. Today, you got to start now. No one's going to do it for you. You got to jump in and make it happen. So thank you guys so much for listening and sharing and being supportive of what we are doing. We're so happy that you are enjoying the show. So let's get this going. Speaking of making things happen, let's get this episode started. Thank you so much to Gabby for joining and sharing all the stuff that she's up to. So we're going to get right into the episode. Here we go.
My name's Gabby Conti. At It's Gabby Conti on Twitter and Instagram. Verified on Twitter, not on Instagram. And I am a host, a writer, a comedian, a storyteller, a dating expert, a journalist, and someone who likes to do a million things at once.
I like that. I like people that do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because my whole world has been, including my handles, one man variety.
Well, and you're a juggler, right?
Yeah.
Like, actually a juggler, so you must like to actually juggle your life and activities.
Nailed just that.
There you
people
go.
People hit me with that all the time. Mm-hmm. And that, I feel like I'm always intrigued and kind of drawn to people who don't just commit to like one thing. They're like, no, I like this, mm-hmm. and this is kind of like what I do, but I also like to do this, so I'm going to try this, and I like to do this, so I'm going to do this today. Mm-hmm. And it might be like a little bit confusing for people or ourselves
yeah.
at some points, but it like creates this thing of like, cool, every day I get to kind of like create a new world, and I like piece together a world of me doing a bunch of different things. Like, we're backstage right now for my show tonight at Booby Trap.
Where
we
are.
And we're recording a podcast.
But don't you feel that the things you do, as diverse as they may be, they all kind of like make sense together? They all kind of complement each other in some way or another?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm trying to tie that in with what I do. How do you, that's a question right back at you.
I'm sorry, I'm usually on your side. So I'm like, I just wrapped 423 episodes of The Elite Daily Show as a host. So
yeah.
That was like 2 years of my life where I was constantly interviewing people. So I'm going to try my best
yeah,
to like
we'll get
take a step back.
You could do that.
We
could just do it. We could turn this into like the interview of me.
Sure.
No one does that
yeah.
ever. We'll get into that, I think, a little bit. But back into that thing of kind of like umbrellaing
mm-hmm.
things, and things keep getting tied into. How do you do that? Like, how do you keep it so that you're not like, oh, like too much wishy-washy here and a little bit here and a little bit here, and it's just like too thin?
Well, I feel like everything I do feeds into each other in a way. Like, my voice is consistent amongst all the different hobbies I have. And like journal, like for example, like let's say journalism. I went to school for journalism, so I'm always curious, and I think that journalist perspective transfers into my storytelling. I run a storytelling show where performers have to bring an item and pass it around and tell a story about it. And I've made it kind of like, it's called Burn Your Baggage is the tagline for it, because I've made it kind of where people have to do investigative reporting on these things that have been holding them back for years, and kind of just like investigate it and find out answers to things and then decide to put it away. Yeah. But then that also is the voice of my stand-up. A lot of those stories, I'll condense them, and then it's like a funny joke that I could tell at a bar show. And then I've been writing a book for the past few years because the dating expert thing comes from that I've been on 10,000 hours worth of dates.
Yeah.
And so because I was single for all my 20s, I now have a boyfriend, sorry. But like I was single for all my 20s and I just turned 30 and I wrote a book called 20 Guys You Date in Your 20s, which is a dating handbook for women. It's not out yet, but getting there. And so that feeds what I do with storytelling, what I do with hosting. It has a journalist voice to it because a lot of it is like interviewing guys I dated, interviewing couples, interviewing my friends and experts and getting dating advice from them as well as my dating advice in these experiences. So, yeah.
Where did that start as a goal of like, let's see like how we can create this thing and like tell the stories, or how did that come about?
Well,
like
the book itself?
Well, yeah. Or just, I mean, or even before that became an idea of just like going out and learning about dating. And
well, I've always been fascinated by dating because I think I've always been really bad at dating. Like that's always been a thing. And now I actually have a podcast with my former therapist. I can't say therapist. He says former therapist, friend, because he doesn't actually officially like work with me. His name is The Angry Therapist. And we have a podcast called Asking for a Friend, where people ask us for dating advice. We do a podcast and a Facebook live stream and we answer their questions. But that I think kind of goes into the dating thing has always been something that I've been fascinated. Yeah. Cause I've been bad at it and I've learned a lot. And I feel like it's always what I talk to my girlfriends about and I try to help them as much as I can. And I always ask for their help too. Even in relationships, it's still not like, it's still work. You still have to.
Right. So then turning into the book, I feel like pretty much everyone that has any sort of interesting thing that they've ever done or that they thought was interesting is like, oh, I should write a book.
Yeah.
Or people are like, you should write a book about your life. How did you actually take the step to?
Well, the book has now gone through like three versions. This is the third version. The first version was called Excommunication. And it was essentially like a diary. Cause when I was in high school, I kept a love journal that was like AIM conversations with like my boyfriend from high school, like movie tickets, notes, love notes, like song lyrics, like terrible poetry that I wrote. And I kept adding to it as I was dating. And then I was like, oh, I should kind of turn this. I had this really bad heartbreak when I was 23. I looked through that book and I was like, I should turn this into something. And so I started writing just about my dating stories and then kind of realized it was kind of coming off as like a burn book without really being so funny. And so then I kind of stepped away from it and was like, let's make this relatable. And that's where the 20 guys thing came from.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's great. Is there an estimated arrival for the finished product?
Well, yeah, so I just turned 30, so obviously it has to come out this year.
Right.
I'm working on my treatment right now. There's some interest, hopefully. But I kind of have the mentality that I'm going to shop it around, and then if I don't get any publishers, like worst case scenario, I self-publish.
Yeah.
But it's going to get out this year for sure. It has to.
Great.
Yeah.
I like that as well as so people – there's a lot of – entertainers and people who are up to stuff, and I feel like everyone's like waiting for things to happen or waiting for something like that. And that was a great thing. Like, yeah, I'm gonna like try for publishers, but if not, self-publish. My book was self-published, and it was like I didn't have to answer to anybody. It was great.
And so much of my process, my book is very graphic heavy. It's a lot of like charts, and like it feels like you're reading a Cosmo. There's like a Cosmo style quiz at the back of it, and there's like all these like funny images and stuff like that. And when I was first doing the book, a thing that held me back is I was like, well, I'm not a graphic designer. I can't do this. And then lo and behold, I found this like free program and have been building graphics that are not amazing, but it's funny when I show people that they're like, oh, this is great. The best part is the graphics. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, I just, you know, but it was the same thing. Like, don't let things hold you back. Just do them.
My thing has always been like, I don't know how to do anything, but I do like a bunch of like, I didn't know how to make a podcast, but I was like, well, I can buy, like I initially bought like a $80 recorder and I was like, okay, now I have a podcast. And like with my friends, we like recorded podcasts. Now I have, you know, slightly more stuff, but then I was like, I learned what I needed. And then 2 years into it, I was like, okay, I think I could get something that's a little bit better. Or like my thing this week has been, I don't know how to like host a live variety talk show. That's like this thing. And I was like, but I'll book the venue
then figure it out.
Invite like my friends to come be yeah. in the show, and then we did it. And people were like, "That was great."
And it seems like you said that you had like what, 4 on panel or 5, and then you realized you needed to make it smaller.
Yeah, like, and it's like so many times I want things to be perfect, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I have this image, like this view, and I'm like, I want this thing to be great.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not how anything works.
No, you just
ever.
Have to do it.
Like your first book or not your, but like anyone's first book or this or whatever. It's like, if you wait till it's ready or good, it's not going to be there ever.
Yeah, you just got to get out there. And well, I've also been writing dating articles forever, which yeah. is also how I call myself, like a dating expert. So that's kind of the other thing that inspired. Yeah. I was like, these articles are there. And a lot of the times I'm like going back on stuff I touched upon in the articles and kind of making it
yeah.
all fit together.
Talk about the I think this theme is kind of coming together as just doing a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Talk about the hosting of the show, the Elite Daily
yeah.
Show.
Well, Elite Daily Show is amazing, and right now we actually have our last 23 episodes are streaming on Go90, which is Verizon's streaming service, and it's cool because the show itself for the 400 episodes that exist. It's more of like, it's like a millennial talk show. So it's everything from like interviews with like celebrities to cooking segments to fashion segments to DIY segments to even like sketches and a lot of things that would go on Facebook. We had like a Facebook page for the videos. But the last 23 episodes are actually a behind the scenes of the show. So it has a 30 Rock feel to it. And cool. I like play an exaggeration of myself. I thought I was like the Tina Fey. It turns out I'm like the Jenna character, like unbeknownst to me. But yeah, it's a really fun way. We put a lot of like money and effort and energy, and it was like a real team effort. And I probably shouldn't say we put a lot of money, but you know, you could say like the production quality of right. it is much higher. And so that comes out. That's already streaming the first 3 episodes of that, and probably by the time this comes out, by the end of August, all 23, and then that's it. But Elite Daily Show was such a random thing that happened to me. It was an audition that I went into not expecting it would be like 2 years of my life. And yeah. I am so grateful. I worked with so many incredible people, and I grew and learned so much from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So going back into that, people are sitting at home on the internet all day and they see somebody hosting a show and they're like, oh, I wish I could
yeah.
do that.
I'd
be better than her at this. And you know, they're sitting there doing these things. What was your path to,
hosting?
You know, thinking I want to be, you know, in front of people and doing this stuff.
Well, I was a performer from when I was I was in a play when I was 6 years old. Like that was my first like taste of it. And I loved performing and loved musical theater as a kid. And that was always my thing. And was a huge theater nerd in high school, like did all that stuff. And then when I went to college, my parents were like, no, you can't pursue acting. That's insane. And so I actually was always doing many things all the time. I loved theater. My second passion was writing for the school paper and doing the morning news in high yeah. school. And I just loved talking to people. And to me, I was like, this is kind of like acting. I had a real thirst for like, I loved telling people's stories. I loved storytelling. I never was into hard news or politics, but I loved like doing movie reviews or like interviewing a teacher that was leaving school about their career and like doing profile pieces. And that when I went to Emerson College, I was a broadcast journalism major and did a lot with the Emerson Channel, which was our TV station, and hosted a morning show there, which I loved, and got to do red carpet reporting. They sent us out to like cover the Emmys and the Oscars, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And I learned a ton at Emerson, but it's funny looking back at my reel from when I graduated college, I was not as good at hosting as I am now. It took also like, I think doing podcasts really helped. I've had like yeah. 4 or 5 different podcasts like since I've lived in LA.
Yeah.
So podcasts have helped. Performing stand-up, because like stand-up and storytelling, it's very much connecting with an audience on that front. And then just like doing sketches with my friends. My friends and I would do like different web series and stuff. And then my first like paid hosting gig, I was doing red carpet. I got asked to go on a show actually as a guest for this network called Obsev. I don't know if it's still around. It's like a Hollywood thing. I did that. I did red carpet for them. And then I also was doing Pop Sugar hired me to make videos for them, and I was doing hosting for them. And then the hosting thing, I just got back into it. And I had gained so much over the years of like between college and like adult life that I just got so much better at it through all the different things I was doing.
Yeah.
Or I hope I got better at it.
I think it's impossible not to, you have to be like a complete psycho person to not get better, like a delusional person to not get better at stuff, because you're going to see things that, like, you know, for me, it's like getting up on stage and doing juggling things. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, you just juggle. You just make sure you catch the stuff.
But there's so much
little
more
subtle things, like, oh, this little move, if I, like, you know, hype this little bit up or something, they'll really like that. And there's like these little things that no one would ever imagine. There's like these things that go into it.
Right.
But like just the amount of time, as you said, like putting in time to do things is the only way to figure them out.
And a big thing too, it's so many people, it's the thing that sucks. I feel like there's a lot of nepotism in this town and a lot of people that come here and they're very privileged. And like, that was never the case for me. I've had a job since high school. Something that I had to do is I had my job, that was like kind of in the industry, but not my dream job. And then I always had the side hustle, which people talk about a lot, but it's such a thing. And it wasn't, Elite Daily Show was like the first job that was where the side hustle and the job met together. But I feel like so much of this town, it's like you're a bartender or a waitress, or for me, it was retail for years. But then you're always like, you're going on auditions, you're doing the thing, and it's just kind of,
So being the type of person that goes after and makes these things happen instead of like most people
waiting,
talking about them and thinking about them and imagining doing them, is there you know, everything that happens, especially in this town, is like there's like this unknown, this uncertainty, and especially this like fear of whatever it is, rejection or wondering if people are going to,
or if you're good enough. For a girl, it's like, good enough. Are you good enough? Are you pretty enough? Are you skinny enough? Are you funny enough?
Like, yeah.
These are all the questions that go through your head. And I think it takes you just realizing that you are enough and just to believe in that and to pursue that.
Dig into that a little bit. What's like your, you know, process of going through that? Say, you know, you have a big audition or something tomorrow.
Yeah.
And those things start to creep in. And it's like, maybe I'll just skip it. Or I could very easily say I'm sick and
I've missed auditions in the past, but it doesn't come off from me like not thinking I'm good enough. It comes from, I think there is a truth in, like, if you don't feel like you're in the right headspace to do something, you shouldn't force yourself to do it. I feel that creatively a lot. Like, if I'm having a day where I'm like, I can't write today, I don't force it, because I feel like when you force creativity, a lot of times you don't get the best results. I think the thing is, to get out of that headspace is to do things that make you feel good about yourself, whether that is listening to your favorite song or doing your favorite workout or eating food or having things that make you feel like healthy. I think I'm very focused on health as well. I love cooking and working out and stuff like that. And that all like kind of helps me mentally be in a good headspace for those things. And I also believe, I think the best headspace for me with auditions is to do all the work you possibly can do before it, but not like stress yourself out. Go into the room, give it your all, but also know at the end of the day, you could be the most talented for the role, but you might not get it, and it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
And I think that's with dating too. A lot of dating too. Like, once you stop taking things personally and you just focus on yourself, I think that's where you'll find success in jobs, in auditions, in dating, and everything.
Yeah. What's through doing these things, putting yourself out there and kind of powering through those fears, uncertainties, and stuff, what's one or two of your like favorite stories that you kind of like think of that are just like, I'm so glad I actually did that? Is there anything that came through, like a brag-worthy moment or something, maybe?
Well, I kind of have like a little bit of like social anxiety to some extent. Like, I feel like certain times people will ask me to do things and I don't want to do them, and I always say no to things. And it's funny because, like, well, the Elite Daily thing, which is so random, and the like how that happened was, I had a friend who was like, hey, my friends are all going to this like arcade. Do you want to, like, it was Dave and Buster's. Do you want to come to Dave and Buster's? And like, it was like a Tuesday night. I was like, no, I don't want to go to Dave and Buster's. But for some reason, I like forced myself to go. I went, I met all these people. I ended up running into someone that I knew from somewhere else who knew that I was a writer and was like, oh, Elite Daily is hiring writers. Like, you should, like, I'll connect you to my friend. And then it turned out that they were looking for hosts for this show and writers. And then like that job came to be. So I think like a lot of things is like, sure, don't like force stuff, but at the same time, like realize what you're saying no to and like kind of really try to get yourself out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. The best dating advice I always give too, when people are like, a lot of times on asking for a friend, people are always like, how do I meet people? And it's like, say yes. Not right. like in a, not like rape, but yeah. like say yes to opportunities.
Right.
If a friend invites you to a dinner party you don't want to go to, or a barbecue you don't want to go to, or out somewhere and you like just would rather stay at home, like make yourself go, give yourself like a curfew, be like, okay, I'm just going to go for an hour. And if I don't like it after an hour, I'll leave. I think that really helps a lot.
Yeah. That's something that I've been doing. Especially, I've only been in LA for less than 2 years, mm-hmm. so I still feel like I'm.
You already have a podcast. You're killing it.
Understanding the world. I like kind of. It's still crazy.
Yeah.
But I've like forced myself out to like say yes to like variety shows and mm-hmm. all these things. It's like, you know, doing shows that you don't get paid for and showing up, and you know, you can be like, well, no, I only do this type of show. But it's like every. It's so awesome because every single time that I show up,
yes.
my thing is my like. Theme of like the saying yes is like just keep showing up.
Keep showing the Woody, it's the Woody Allen quote, right? Success, like 98% of success is showing
right,
up.
Yeah.
It's true to some extent. Yeah. But I also believe though that there is, you want to be careful not to say yes to too much, because then that becomes another issue when you find yourself overwhelmed because you have all these commitments. So I think it's like say yes, but prioritize.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. And that's something, like I said, that's something that for me, it's been just like, yeah, show up here and then. Mm-hmm. If it's terrible, Dick, you leave.
Yeah.
Like you, and then you didn't get always, to watch that much YouTube.
You can always leave. Yeah, you can always leave. Like, I think that's something that, that's another thing when, like, I was going on a ton of, like, first dates, online dates and stuff like that. And I had a lot of friends that were single at the same time. And they're like, how do you do it? I'm like, you know, you can leave. Like, if you're on a date, if the guy doesn't look like his picture, if you feel uncomfortable, if something feels weird, you can always just be like, I have to go.
Yeah.
And I actually did a segment on the Elite Daily Show about, there was a thing that initiative that bars were doing called the Angel Shot. Did you hear about this?
Oh yeah, where there's like a code that you can
a code
order.
With the bartender to make you feel safe. So if you're on a date and like the person doesn't look like their picture, you would order the Angel Shot a certain way, and it's like there's different degrees of it. And every bar could have their own policy, and a lot of bars would put this in their bathroom. But mm-hmm. like the easiest thing to do though on a first date, if you're uncomfortable, instead of wondering what the right code is to like let a bartender know regardless of how busy it is. Or another hack I learned is that the kitchen for most like bars has a back entrance. Mm-hmm. So if you're ever feeling comfortable, you could just walk through the kitchen and right. like tell someone that you're feeling unsafe and they could escort you out.
That's great.
Yeah. But I hate like a lot of comments on that video were like, but men like what, this is so uncool. Like if a girl like did this to me, like that what, like, you know, it's like, but yeah, but there's still like safety is a thing and you're meeting right. strangers online. Like,
yeah,
like this. I met you online. Oh wow, okay, no, just kidding.
What's now the code? We're in a weird room.
In this room
doesn't have
with
any
no windows.
Windows.
Okay.
We just acknowledge that.
Yeah, a room that you said used to have like EDM recordings or parties, EDM DJs here.
Apparently, yeah, we don't know. It's a mystery.
This feels a lot of Hollywood to me feels so haunted.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
It's like so that's funny because everyone thinks like it's Entourage all day.
Yeah, no, it's kind
and,
of
like
sad.
LA is like not glamorous.
No, at all.
Most places are like this.
Well, I was walking down Hollywood Boulevard to come here from my car, and it reminded me of like this little pocket of like Times Square in New York where it's like, but like less Red Lobsters. Like all these like little, there's so many. Like little stores that are like the highest heels in Hollywood, or like just like wigs. Like I don't like a bodega, or like is there a health code here? Like I don't know. Like it's not like so many tourists. Like tourists that walk really close to you when there's like a lot of space on the street. They're like, are you trying to pickpocket me?
Right.
There's nothing in here.
So let's where what other things do you what oh. Here's a question. What is the most scary thing for you as you've kind of like as we were talking about before, like kind of powering through those fears and things? What is something that you're thinking about that you're actually afraid of, or whatever that word is, you know, uncertain or whatever?
Well, I guess for me right now, I don't really like have a clear, I know what I love to do. I know what I'm good at, or at least I think I'm good at. I don't necessarily know what the next step is for me career-wise, which is like kind of scary, but it's also freeing at the same time. I've had a 9-to-5 like for the past 2 years. So it's nice to like not have that and to kind of like make my own schedule and work on my own things. I guess like my biggest fear would be to like lose motivation,
right.
which I haven't so far, but you know, that's kind of scary to me.
Cool. That's great. I think there's a ton of stuff in there, and I think we've got enough.
Okay. Well, what's your biggest fear?
I'm not good at like ultimates.
Yeah.
But like just being an entertainer.
Yes.
Is like, there's that obvious thing of like, what if they don't like it?
Right. That's always scary. Yeah.
Because I do so many, what's so unique about, I think maybe what I do is like, I don't really ever talk too much about this, but like I do so many different types of venues. Like mm-hmm. this venue tonight at Booby Trap, it's like great. It's like a super welcoming crowd. I'm only doing a few minutes. So even if I'm like, even if it's not great, I'm like, I'm out of here.
Get off the stage. Yeah.
Cool. I'm out. But like last week I was doing 45-minute shows for kids at a library.
Okay. Didn't have to be quiet. It was okay.
No, we could yell. It was great. That's good. Is interesting, you know, in a library that you need to tell them that because then you think that they'd hate you. Mm-hmm. They get yelled at for making noise usually.
Right.
But that was a thing of, and it was like 45 minutes. It was just me. Mm. You know, the kids come in there and I'm like, cool, here we go.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's great.
Right.
And then other times the kids, you know, whatever they think their job is to just like scream the whole time or their job is to like just talk. And then the parents think that I'm in charge of babysitting. Yeah. So there's all these things. So that gives me like this, there's a thing of uncertainty.
Yes.
And so that's always kind of scary of like, what if just this is terrible?
Right. Well, there's also with performing, there's always the fear of bombing. But then again, there's the same thing where you're like, right. Oh, it's only a couple of minutes. Like, it's fine.
Yeah. And then so like my new show that I just started producing and hosting, I have this thing of like after it happened, people are like, hey, that was cool.
Yeah.
But then I was like, was it good? And like, did I deliver? I always like, I want things. It goes back to the thing of me wanting things to be awesome.
Right.
And then I like almost have this weird like thing of, I feel bad or guilty if people bought a ticket and like they didn't get enough out of it.
Yeah.
Like I want to over deliver.
Of course.
And then I want it to be free. And then I want to give you all these bonuses. And it's like, I need to like be a lottery winner so that I can just like give everything to people.
That's,
and then I think that's what would make me the most happy.
What's your sign?
Scorpio.
Okay. I don't know if that means anything. I don't know if that was
I thought you were gonna like do a thing.
I know, I thought I was. I just don't know much about Scorpios. All
right. Well, maybe that's a thing. Mm-hmm. But cool. All right, that's enough about me. Is there anything you want to tie everything together that you want people to know about you, or even better yet, somebody who is sitting at home listening to this, say, oh, I, you know, they're in Hollywood or New York or in Mississippi, mm-hmm. wherever they are.
Which I know how to spell.
And, so. All right. It's good.
Yeah. Know the song. Not to brag. Yeah. No big deal.
Do it now.
MISSISSIPPI.
There we go.
And then backwards, IPPISSISSIM.
Oh, backwards.
I'm dyslexic, so that's easy for me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can you do it like rant?
Like just
I think anyone can do it random.
Yeah, anyone just like list, say letters that are
L's
in
and
the
stuff
word.
That aren't in there.
That aren't in there. X.
Now, should we do all the states? Do you know how to spell all the states? This is going to be a great podcast.
No, yeah, I know the state from Connecticut, which is connect, I cut.
Oh, yeah.
Little fun trick.
There we go.
There.
Shout out to Hartford people.
Yeah.
I know my states too.
There you go.
Somebody who's sitting in somewhere.
Yeah.
And they're in that moment of they like keep watching other people and they keep listening to inspiring podcasts.
Okay, I like this
and
one.
And they're
yeah.
kind of like, they're like, yeah, I want to do this. I can do this. And they're searching on Amazon reviews of what the best podcast gear or what the best vlogging camera or what the best book layout software is before they ever started writing.
Yeah.
Whatever they're doing, they're in that stage of like coming up with excuses of why not to start. What do you say to them?
I think you just have to do it. You really do. Like, it's like, stop making excuses. Just do it. Just get out there. Like, if you want to perform, like, go to an open mic. Like, what's there's like no stakes. Like, you want to start a podcast, start a podcast. There's so many podcasts. There's a good chance, like, if you fail, no one might hear it.
Right.
So don't worry about it. And also, it's so funny that even like today, like, the least you could do is, like, you have social media. You can do Instagram stories. You can do like Snapchats. You can like, you know, curate, like, you can express your voice that way, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I do different series on my Instagram story and Snapchat, like, do this thing called Fun or Flirty, where I say if things are fun or flirty, which has like people really like it and they give suggestions. Yeah. It's so dumb. And then I do a character called White Wine, who is this woman, Muffy Whiterson, who just complains about like white people stuff and drinks white wine. And so, yeah, like, I think that there's like the possibilities are endless and there's like so much you can do and there's so much at our fingertips that I think, you know, it could be like, or the other thing, instead of being overwhelmed by the end game or the big thing, think about like the step you can make today to lead yourself in that direction.
Yeah.
Instead of being so overwhelmed.
And trust me, if you're worried about like a lot of people judging you, even if you try really, really, really hard to get people to pay attention to your stuff.
Yeah, at least people will have sympathy. Like, and you're like, oh, this poor guy or girl like is really, you know, really trying. Yeah. I mean, I had my fucking middle school bully wrote on my Facebook wall when I was on Millionaire Matchmaker. That's like a whole other thing. That actually ended up launching my blogging career because I wrote an expose about what it was like to be a contestant on that show. And that was another example of me saying yes to something where someone came up to me. Do you have any interest in being on a Millionaire Matchmaker? And I was like, never thought of that before. Yes, I am in a club in Beverly Hills, so I understand that I am setting myself up for this. And I was like dating a guy at the time. We weren't even, that dating is being nice. Like, we were hooking up, whatever. And like, he was there. And I was like, should I be a Millionaire Matchmaker? He's like, I don't care. Like, hoping that he'd be like, no, you're my girlfriend. Don't do that. And he was like, yeah, do whatever you fuck you want. And I was like, okay, I'm doing it. Like, trying to like prove him wrong. Went on, had a terrible experience, got like made fun of on national television, and wrote this article. And like, my middle school bully like wrote on my Facebook wall being like, wow, Gabby, you've been in LA for this amount of time and like you still haven't like amounted to any success. If I were you, I would maybe give up. It's like, okay, Lisa Stackhouse, like, have like blocking you, like, enjoy your miserable life. Like, also, like, how, like, you still haven't like give up on like bullying me? Like, what is wrong with you? And that's her real name, because I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, that's crazy. People hang on to stuff.
Yeah. I haven't. I've matured, as you can tell.
Great.
No baggage.
So jumping into stuff, that's been, it's so cool to see the theme of that, of everyone who's out there doing stuff is literally like, I don't really know what's going to happen like a year, like where I want it to be, but I know I can take this little step today.
Yeah.
And
do things that make you happy. That's the other thing. I feel like so many, like, especially, you know, we all have to do a job, right? But like our career could be things that fuel us and make us happy and make us feel fulfilled. And I think just to me, my big epiphany this year has been like following things that feel genuine and true. Like anytime I try to do something that feels forced or not real, I don't like doing it. And that's been like, like when something doesn't feel real or important or fun anymore, like, and that goes with relationships too. How many times people find themselves in relationships where they're sad more than they're happy? Like, what are you doing? Get out. Like, life is way too short.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
Get divorced. Dump him. No.
We have this. There's probably some sort of disclaimer in all of this.
Yeah.
That we're gonna skip.
Well, the disclaimer I think would be to know that I am not a licensed therapist.
There we go.
I do have a podcast with one, but I am not myself a licensed therapist. Well, I love giving
hopefully
advice,
no
though.
One's coming to my podcast either. Looking
yeah.
For
well, I mean,
such...
you are saying like the whole like life advice and like how people got to where they are and stuff like that. Which, by the way, I don't think I'm like I am at a good place, but I'm not. There's still so much more that I want to do. In life, and so much more. Yeah, that accomplishments
and,
I want.
And that's key to not be thinking, never. Oh, I did it. I'm better than everyone.
When you start feeling not. Comfortable, ooh, that's the worst. Yeah. Don't get comfortable to me is bored, and bored is not fun.
Cool. All right. Where can people, where do you want to send people to find all your stuff?
GabbyConti.com links the Elite Daily Show and Asking for a Friend podcast, but also social media. It's Gabby Conti on Instagram and Twitter, although I barely am using my Twitter these days, but I don't know. And then you can find me on Facebook.
Are you wasting the verification?
I know. I need to do something. I'm retweeting. I went to a John Mayer concert on Sunday and like there was a really bad date that was happening behind me and I like tried doing hashtag JM bad date, but like it didn't really catch on. So like, I don't know. Once I got lucky and I did like tweet, live tweet a whole like really bad first date that was happening in front of me that ended up like that was people. I feel like people are scared of Twitter now because of Trump. They're like, ugh. Like I feel like it's such a downer going on Twitter these days, you know, and at midnight's ending. So like no one's doing like hashtag wars anymore.
Yeah.
Like why go on Twitter? It's like, what's there?
So we'll find you on Instagram.
Find me on Instagram. I'll hopefully get verified there the next time I come on your podcast.
Like, sweet.
Yeah.
We'll celebrate.
Yeah. Awesome.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
That's the show. Thank you for listening. Again, thanks to Gabby for joining at the show. And for those of you guys who are in Los Angeles area, be sure to check out my new show called Stellar Mystique. That is, right now it's the last Sunday of every month. You can find out the latest details and the info at stellarmystique.com. The show is where I bring together some of my favorite performers from Los Angeles. We come together for a night of performance, but also then turned into kind of like this, where we chat and get a little bit of a backstory. So it's a combination of the podcast and a live variety show. So if you're in LA, come check that out. Check out Gabby on her social media stuff. Go try to get her verified on Instagram so we can celebrate. And yes, thank you guys so much for listening and care. I know I say this all the time. I know you have an infinite amount of options of things to click on the internet, and you decided to click on my face or whatever you clicked on to listen to this. And that's awesome. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll be back soon with more stories. For now, remember, just go. Make things happen. The world's waiting for you to do it. Okay, that's it. Thank you guys so much, and goodbye.